Anyway, Clarence, none of us are normal. As I read through the Bible last year, and Rocky committed, you know, as many of us do, we fast and pray to see God's guidance for the year. But as I read through the Bible last year, the scripture that stood out to me the most was when the Bible says that you're for me or against me. And I really had planned to share something on that. And it does go along with this because we're talking about victory today. But back in December sometime, I had, for some reason, the world's voice. It's like, whether it's TV or the internet or music, it's amplified. And when I shared about going to the ball games, you know, the world's voice is amplified. I mean, you know, the fun and the party and the stuff that takes place after darkness. But in God's kingdom, we're not confounded to that. We're confounded to His kingdom. And so I started reading the amplified version. So this morning when I get into the first couple of scriptures, I wanted to share the first couple in the amplified Bible. But the message, as I got to had the direction the Lord was calling me to, was about us being created in His image. And I would say this from my devotionals to the people that I follow on TV, I listen to Focus in the Family, everything was about us being created in the image of God. And that was just strong in my spirit. I didn't know I was going to go with it, but that's how I come up with the title of the message, because none of us are normal. Clarence, you got another image up here. And none of us are normal. Hey, look at that man. Good gracious, man. Does anybody have any idea who that is? That's an old one, Clarence. Clarence back there in the sound booth and myself, we grew up next door to each other. And so, man, I can't even imagine. We're probably 5'7". Hey, man, none of us are normal. Well, we knew we weren't normal. Huh? Okay, wow. Ain't that something? Yeah. Wow. Man, I wish I'd have had a little more wisdom back then, say the least. Amen. 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 But I can say I have seen the goodness of God in my life. Amen. So this morning, the title of the message today, as we've already saw, none of us are normal. None of us are normal. And so I just decided to look up the definition of what normal is. And it says conforming to a type, standard, or regular pattern. And in general, that's not a bad thing. We meet here every 10:30 on Sunday mornings, you know, having a routine of reading and, you know, exercising, you know, proper rest. All those things can be a good thing. But this morning, I've actually taken this and copied a couple of scriptures. I said, I'm going to try this morning. Screenshot, Darnie said. I didn't want to write them down in the Amplified. But I thought about this because this is a powerful machine right here. I mean, whether you want to Google, you know, of course, you can Google medicine, and, you know, but we walk by faith, so thank God for medicines and doctors, but you can get misled sometimes by this, in whatever direction it is. Google doesn't always take us to the right place. This won't heal you. This won't set you free. You know, this won't pay your bills. This will. In your time of need, this will take care of you. This will meet every need that we have. Not greed, but every need. So we're not normal because we don't fight our battles the way the world fights our battles. And let me open up this first scripture. The first scripture is going to be Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Clarence, that's the one you had up there. It says, then God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. See, the phone's going to mess up on me. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. So God created man in His own image, and in the image and likeness of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. And the next verse will start and say, God blessed him. In my quiet time this morning reading over that, man, I thought about this. Have you all ever seen those commercials for identity theft? Tell me, He created them, male and female. Look what He's doing to this generation of young people trying to steal their identity. Ain't that amazing, man? I said, wow. Man, what a liar. What a thief. Ephesians 2:10, Clarence. Ephesians 2:10. Bear with me here. I'm doing this from my photos. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking path which he set so that we might walk in them, living the good life which he has prearranged and made ready for us. Living the good life. Normal. We're not normal. We are created in God's image. And I thought about what that actually what that meant. And when we think, when we line up with what the Bible says, we can't live right if we're not thinking right. We have to live and think according to the Bible, because most of what we're going to hear is not going to be good. Amen, amen. I mean, man, those first two verses I just read, I mean, God, he loves us. He's chosen us. He equips us. And he's called us to do good works. But what does it in the image of God look like? As I shared earlier, at the ball games we go to, we've been to two games this year. The whole family got to go, and thank the Lord that we've won both times. And it's nothing like being in a crowd of winners. I mean, it's nothing walking by your enemy, man, just laughing. I mean, you know, it's an unfair game, but hey, well, that's the way we should walk in real life, because that's important. We do get victory in every area of our life when we submit our wills to God's ways. What does it look like when we're in the image of God? My perspective, the first game we went to, we were sitting, there were really good seats. We're sitting way up at top. There's really not a bad seat in that arena. And, you know, the coach of UVA, without giving his name, he's the man of faith. And he has eight pillars for that team. And that's what he, when he went there, wins or losses were irrelevant. Building good young men was important to him. But as the second game, we got to sit down 14 rows from the floor. And the perspective difference from being up there to seeing those guys, I didn't realize how small I was till I got down that close to the floor. Even the 5'7" guy looked bigger than me. I was like, man. But it's a perspective thing. So when we come to church on Sundays, and it's awesome to get filled and hear the message and all those things, but if we go Monday through Saturday and we're not getting up reading the Word, we're not worshiping, praying, we give the enemy 6 days. We're never going to win a battle in this lifetime giving him six and giving God one. It would never work. It just will not work. Being created in the image of Christ means we have dominion and authority. I mean, can you imagine? He's given that. And there are a lot of people who teach name it, claim it, which is wrong. I mean, if you're human, we're going to go through ups and downs in this life, mountaintops experience, the valleys, and everything in between. But we have dominion, and we have to take whatever we're going through, whether we're praising God up here at the top or in the bottom, and we're lonely, we feel alone, there's nobody there to help us, God is always there. Not only that, he's given us the power over the enemy. Luke 10:19, Clarence, if you don't mind putting that up there. He's given us dominion and power. When it says we've trampled over, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and I wouldn't encourage going to pick up snakes and those types of things, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by shall any means harm you. The serpents and scorpions there represent just our opposition in this world system, and we have plenty of it, whether on the job, wherever we go, we're going to face that. But he says, I've given you authority over that. So when we seek him first and foremost, nothing will hurt us. Nothing said, nothing done, because God is always for us. We are child of God. Not only are child, we're created in his image for good works. So just as he tells us, he said, they come after me, they're coming after you. Don't be surprised by that. And as I had shared last Sunday, you know, just about us being offended, man. Of course, you know, family. You know, family, sometimes we say things and we don't mean to. Maybe we don't say it in the right tone of voice. If you're married, I'm sure you can understand, or your kids. But it doesn't mean that we should be offended by it. We should always give ourselves that room to allow, that room of grace as God has done that for us. He says we speak like him. Speaking to the mountains, so many times I know, and I do believe, when we give God first, and I believe that's in every area of our life, God promises to take care of us. He's got your back. And when we don't give first to the Lord, it does open the door for the enemy to come in. And he will take advantage. I mean, the Bible says he seeks for those for who, he's searching for those that are not doing, maybe you go to church on Sunday, but maybe you're not doing it right the rest of the week. That's who the enemy is looking for. He likes those open doors. Speaking to the mountains, I love this because I wanted to look at this a little differently because we do speak to the mountains. I think about how we've started out the year this year, and it's funny, I've heard somebody say, man, I blew my diet already. So you blow your diet one day, so you're going to blow it the rest of the 51 weeks of the year. Where does that type of thinking come from? That's the devil. Somebody's got on the internet and shopped again. You blew it one time. You're going to give the devil the next 51 weeks of the year? I mean, we're already to the end of February, and it's amazing how the enemy wants to get it. You've already failed. Aren't you glad that God didn't do that to us? Man, we can fail 1,000 times and repent, and we're sitting right there. And man, it's amazing the mentality that the devil tries to get into our heads. But I thought about also the negative side of that, and we were talking about we do declare healing. And Jesus went to the cross, and me and Rocky got a chance to share a few a little bit this week. And I do think about when we're going to get to share communion later, when he did go to the cross, it's a covenant that he made, a blood-bought covenant for joy and for peace beyond all the other things. That's all incorporated in his covenant. But the ability to speak words of faith in the middle of a crisis. And I asked a sister here this morning if I could bring her name up, and I know we have Brother Schmidt as well. We've prayed over him. But speaking to the mountains where we're in a crisis, you know, I've been in that office, and I've been around Brother Schmidt long enough to know that they're still going to praise God speaking to that mountain. They still give the God praise. That's huge. It's easy to speak to the mountains, and something happens, and it's for good. But when we can praise God, man, the enemy has no defense for that. None. I mean, that's so amazing. We acknowledge the pain and the hurt, and we're grateful for the doctors and the technology and all those things. But until God says it's time to have that surgery or it's time to bring us home, we believe what God says. And by his stripes, we are healed. And when we bring in our, just like the diet things, well, I've already blown it. When we bring in, that invites the enemy in. We can't walk in faith and speak negativity. God's given us, when we speak to the mountains, it's got to be to the mountains of, I think about, you can speak to the mountains of infirmities. You can speak to your finances. Darlene will tell you, I have spoke over our finances, and that's God's money, and nobody's going to mess with God's money when it's all said and done. And I'm a strong advocate, and I've shared this before because I'm Brother Juan and my son, there's been so many of us, Brother Ralph, for years. You know, the last thing I would eat this table, I said I would ever do was count money at a church. And I have no idea what anybody gets here, but I can tell you what, they'll testify if they want to shout it out loud. There's not a dollar that comes in this church that's not prayed over. Not $1. And that will always stand out to me when the African Children's Choir lady, the last time that we were up there, she said we were the only church that they had been to that prayed in that setting. That's amazing. A little small church in Hopewell, out of all the places they go around the world, and we were the only one to pray over the finances. That's amazing. I mean, that's God's miracle-working power. Isn't that amazing? So we can speak in the middle of sickness, crisis, and loss. God uses us in our sickness and pain. Even though we may not like it, we don't have to like it. I mean, David cried out, Lord, I mean, how long is this going to go on here? But what he's doing is when we can give God praise in that, he is drawing those people around us to his kingdom. Because the world doesn't have the answer, we do. In the midst of up or down, we have the answer. So we have dominion, we can speak, and we love like God. no greater love than Jesus going to the cross. That never gets old. And y'all know for me, I have gotten emotional up here at times, but man, it's like when I get up here on Sundays, man, it's just hits me how much he loves me. It's just a fresh revelation when I get up here. And my son would probably say, man, Dad, how could you, when you were young, hit somebody and then get up here and cry, you know? But that's a. But anyway, you got many good football players out there that, you know, that'll shed a tear when they start sharing the word of God. So God created those emotions. So we love like God. So the cross, he's reflected how, you know, we're to pray for our enemies. We love those who hate us. We love those, you know, it doesn't mean we got to hang around them, but there's people that, you know, we just simply, whether it's work or wherever it may be, that, you know, that we don't want to maybe be around on a daily basis, we still love them in the Lord. Well, our job is to love them and to pray for them, and that's what we're called to do. Even when they talk about us, you know, God has our back. And we just went through that on, I believe it was this past Wednesday night on Zoom. Regardless of what we're going through, if we keep our focus up and fix our eyes on Jesus, God's got our back. It doesn't make no difference what's going on, what they're saying or what they're doing. God has our back. When sin entered the world, we basically, that's where, you know, I think about this, and it's going to surprise you, man. This really got me when I was in my quiet time. You know, I'd like to say, how many of y'all, if I said your hand, that God gets his way? Well, he will one day on earth. But God doesn't always get his way. Because between the graveyard and people living right now, there's plenty of people, and maybe you're watching this morning and you're seeing this and saying, who is that guy? But there's many of people that didn't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they're in a place in eternity. God didn't get his way, but one day he will. But while we're here and we're salt and light of the earth, we are to draw people, regardless of where it is, to the job, at home. You know, it's always amazing how the enemy wants to get us distracted, get us focused on ourselves. Selfishness is part of the fall. You know, finding fault with other people is part of the fall. Blaming somebody else. I mean, there's times, that's one thing when I was in my corporate job, I noticed that we'd be sitting in those big meetings. Some people just had to talk. They didn't have to. They just want to be seen. There's times to speak, and there's times to be quiet. And we need that quiet time. Jesus always got away. There's nobody that had more of a hectic schedule than Jesus. I've been reading a book by Levo Lesko, and the reason I bought it on Focus on the Family, the guy said, it's called Take Back Your Life. He said it's one of the best books he's ever read, and I've only read maybe about a third of it, and I kind of glanced through it, because the number 8, as we come into the new year this year, you know, means new beginnings. And he said, could you imagine if the body of Christ, for 8 minutes in the morning, got up and praised the Lord and read in 8 minutes before they went to bed? He says, you can't help but change. 8 minutes a day. And I can assure you, this gets 8 minutes a day or 16 minutes a day. So we need to put this down. And now we can use this with the scriptures. We use it all the time. I used it to looking up a lot of stuff. It's a blessing. But it won't do what the word of God will do for us. We can live like God. We're going to get a chance here in a few minutes to do communion here. Make sure that we're mindful of the time. Salvation, I looked that up in the Hebrew. I looked it up in several different, but I'm going to give you the Hebrew definition of salvation. God did heal us. So first, just remember, none of us are normal. We are created in God's image. There's nothing about us normal. When you think God created us before the foundation of the world, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, we're not normal. God has empowered us to live a life that's completely different than those that are around us that are unbelievers. Our salvation means more than just going to heaven. This is their definition. In the Greek, it means deliverance, safety, preservation, deliverance from temporal danger, pardon, restoration, healing, wholeness, soundness. It's a blood-bought covenant. When you think about God, how he gave man a blank canvas when he created man, a blank canvas. You know, I think about, because I'm sure we all question sometimes, why didn't he just, when it come to Adam and Eve, you know, I thought about it, I said, why didn't he just smack Adam's hand when he went to touch the fruit of hers? I say, bad boy, don't do that. But he wants to give us a choice. And when God created the earth, look what he allowed man to do. I mean, look at what man has built around the world with God's wisdom. It's amazing. This phone right here. I mean, can you imagine a computer back in the 90s? I can remember when pagers first come out. Man, what God has gifted us with to share with the world, and this is a good thing. I don't mean to be harping on this, but we know a lot of people use this for bad. And the younger generation, they're tied to these things. And we don't mean that in a bad way. We're not bad. It's not the cell phone company. Their job is to sell. That's what they do, these commercials, and that's what they do. And our job is to make good use of our time. But God give us the ability to create. So think about that. We speak. I can speak negative over my health. Well, that's just the way things go. Or I can say, God, okay, I got a little something going on here, but you're greater. I mean, nothing's impossible with God. That's what he wants to hear from us. But there's a young man years ago, and I read this little story about, it's a coincidence. A guy actually showed me his wallet, and it's a Leatherman. Well, years ago, how many guys would be familiar with that tool, the Leatherman? Have you ever heard of it? I wish Clarence, I should have thought to send it to Clarence. So anyway, Tim Leatherman, him and his wife, they driving this old car, and he had a Boy Scout pair of pliers and a pair of scissors. And the car would break down, and whatever the little issue with the car, the Fiat was, he would get out and fix it, and he said, somebody needs to create a tool where this is all in one little piece. So anyway, he comes back off his vacation, and he decides for 2 years he's going to work on it. And he's just about to give up 2 years into it and gets up the next morning, and it just come together. He created this tool called the Leatherman, and you can actually see it if you look it up. It's really interesting. So third year, he gets a patent on it. Well, 7 years into the process, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rejections. Think about that. Here, God, he created this. And, I can list the names because they're out there. You can Google it yourself. Companies like Stanley, they laughed. They said, man, this will never sell. Well, here you go right here. All right, that's it right here. How many of y'all have ever seen that? It folds up, you stick it in your pocket. I mean, the backstory to this is amazing. 7 years into this, not one sale. And his buddy encourages him to keep going. There's a little store, okay? Before I tell you the store, there's this couple lives in cold weather, and they're used to driving over ice, and they take their ride four-wheelers. So they decide, they see that cars have been riding over this area, so they get their four-wheeler off, and they start riding across the ice. Well, guess what happens? The ice cracked, and the four-wheeler fell through. So after minutes and minutes of freezing cold water, they decide, they've already basically, there's no hope. All hope is lost. Until he sticks his hand in his pocket. This little tool right here, there was a company just started called Cabela's. They bought 500. $100 million company now. And you go to his website, all kinds of stuff that you can buy and sell. That guy reaches in his pocket, pulls it out, and starts picking ice. And he's able to pick himself up. All because one man didn't give up. The same thing Jesus calls us to do when we're down, when we feel lonely, when things aren't going our way. It looks like the finances aren't going our way. God wants praise, and he doesn't want us to give up because our victory has already been won. Right? When we share communion later, victory is not optional. It's only, I think, if I got this right, Craig, it's where your Logan plays basketball. There's in the trophy case, and I forgot he even made the comment. It says it's hard to beat somebody who don't give up. And ain't that true? None of us are normal. We are created in God's image. Good things do happen to bad people, but one thing I do want to share that's important, talking about the 6 days to the devil. Daily, I can't remember a day that I don't pray over the family. Or pray over my vehicle when I leave the house. But what about the days we don't do that? Does that open the door to the enemy? And I'm not saying that's the case. God does have a time for us to come home to be with him. But on that day that we don't pray and we're in a hurry because we're going to be 3 minutes late to our job, the day that we don't pray for our family and for our kids and stand on what God has said and declare that over them, and something happens that day, is it because, I'm not saying that's the case, but we need to do our part and exercise our faith and take authority for that day. We don't get grace for tomorrow. God's prayer may be answered tomorrow or the next day, but we have to stand on it today over our families and our well-being. We have the mind of Christ. Isn't that amazing? He creates us in His image, and then He gives us His mind. And the only way we can have His mind is to stand the Word of God, renew it every day. We know the attacks are going to come, the accusations. But I like that earlier, as a sister Michelle was, it's just amazing, the two songs, the goodness of God, you're going to see a victory, and faith is our password that unlocks God's power. We walk by faith. It doesn't make no difference. We have hope, so we don't need to waver. And we're going to have, He didn't say we were going to feel all those emotions. God created those emotions. But God is going to do for us to a certain degree, and then we're going to have to do the part and exercise our faith for the rest. He's already won the battle and the victory. We have to stand on what His Word says. We're not normal. We're blood bought. By the way, you know, isn't it funny when we get the mindset of that, we're in the image of Christ. Isn't there joy in victory? Man, tell me somebody that's victorious that doesn't rejoice, that's not happy. I mean, the excitement, man, even Darlene lives with me, but man, I'm always, every morning I get up, I'm so excited. It's a new day, it's new mercies, new beginnings. Declare those things over yourself and over your family. Have so much to look forward to. Today is the day of favor. Today is the day our light shines to that person. My daughter's little funny story before I get to point two. A couple of Sundays ago, it was the last Sunday, I had my mind made up. I'm going to study. I'm going to do all this. And she says, Dad, can you come help me hang a TV? I didn't want to say anything negative. I said, okay, God, okay. But, you know, God, when you submit to God and say, okay, I just took a deep breath and said, okay, Lord. So, Darlene and I couldn't have got to Walmart and hung a TV any faster than my son delivering a package. But, so just before we get there, she said, did you bring your screwdriver, your Phillips head? And I said, dang it, man, I didn't bring that. So I got to go into Dollar General, right down from her house. There's no coincidences with God. So, needless to say, the first register's not working. There's people in front of me, and I've got this lady in front of me, and I don't know, she could have been a millionaire, but the way she was dressed and what she had in her basket, you know, I would say that wasn't the case. So anyway, I got one item. I got a $3.99 two-pack of a screwdriver and a Phillips head. She never looks at me. She's got this buggy, and this is the honest truth. As much stuff as she had in that buggy, it was all petty stuff. So anyway, she never looks at me, and I'm like playing, listening to the Jeopardy song in my head. And the next thing I know, she turns around. I mean, she wasn't friendly to me. She says, is that all you got? And I said, yes, ma'am. She says, you go ahead. So I sit there, and I paid the $4, and I turn around, and I just grabbed a $20 bill, and I said, thank you for blessing me. And I don't like to share those things because I give, but God put her on my path. And she certainly, I could even tell as I left out of there praying for her in the spirit, you know, she needed to know the Lord. And it's a different walk with the Lord, I should say, because she had hope. And I just wanted to be a blessing to her. So anyway, God worked that out for me, and everything worked out for His glory. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 28. 26 and 28. I'm going to read this. Most of y'all are very familiar with this, and I just really want to get this. Man, God really just, last Sunday we're sitting here in praise and worship, and I want to set this up for next week when Pastor Rocky comes back. Man, every week we quote, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. And last week, man, I had tears. That's just not words on a screen. And if you're watching for the first time today or you're here for the first time, Rocky has something special to share when he says that next week. I want you to receive, because we are what this book says we are. And I mean, I just sensed God last week saying, these are just not words when you make this confession. I can say that with my eyes closed. That does no good. We're to stand on what that word says and believe that word. It's just not words on a page. Impossible to please God, Brother Schmidt. You're right, without faith. Impossible. Romans chapter 8, 26 and 28. I like the first part of this. I wasn't going to actually do 26, but have you ever been down where you just, or didn't even know how to pray? I love this right here, because I think there are days and weeks, you know, in our lives that we didn't know how to pray or what to pray for. We just felt, man, we just felt in despair or tired or lonely. I mean, if it happened to David and Elijah, it's going to happen to us. We're human. He said, likewise, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Man, groanings. Can you imagine that? We're groaning on the inside when we get like that. It's amazing how God works in us. Now, he who searches the hearts, God knows every heart here, including mine, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God's already working for us. The song we said, when we can't seal it, when we can feel it, man, he's working for us. And this scripture here, I think, is maybe the most popular or one of the most popular scriptures in the Bible. As we put this up here, Clarence, and we read this, I want you to put, so when we read this together, let's say, and I know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I know. It's personal, I know. And we've heard so many times that, you know, everything is not good. That's true. God is working for my good. You think about these car dealerships that offer you a lifetime guarantee. Nothing compares to that right there. The last time I stood up here, I shared a message called Taking Time to Laugh. And it's important. You know, my brother was in a state of vegetative state and had been for 6 months. And back on December 20th, I went to see him, and I could tell he had really gotten weak, and I actually sent my sister a picture. And it's the first time I actually brought up heaven to him. And I said, you know, and the reality is we don't always get healed here, but we believe that to the day we get home. And I didn't know how much time he had left, but I knew something had changed. I just sensed it in my spirit. So I texted my sister that night, and I just shared with my brother. I said, you know, Dane, I said, one day we won't have to worry about this physical body. I said, we will have a wrestling match in heaven, and I will beat him in heaven. I declared a victory over him. You know, he was a wrestler, but I'm going to get that victory over him. Well, the next morning, he went home to be with the Lord at about 1 o'clock in the morning. And a sister shared last week about her family, about how, you know, the distance had been for her and her son for years and years and years. God is always working for my good. Me and my brother spent more time together never wanted to see him that way, and I wouldn't want to see my worst enemy that way. But I spent more time with him in 6 months than I had in the past 40, 45 years. God worked it for good. We laughed together. You know, I seen him get angry at me going there, see him. He didn't want to be in that state. His mind was sound. And, you know, but at the end, I see how he worked and God drew us back together as a family. I'm not going to cry, Sean. and me and my brother and sister, we've all walked different paths of life. And I still love them and I still pray for them. Of course, my brother's in heaven now. My sister, me and her we've always been close. I say close as far as there's never been the physical relationship together, but communication has really been poor for 10 plus years, if not 15 now. And I'm grateful for my sister. She's done so many things. She helped Darlene and I get back together after breaking up about 90 times and all those types of things. But for the first time in years, me and her communicating again. And it's different, you know. If sometimes it does take loss, and it shouldn't. You know, as Christians, why, you know, sometimes it feels good to be angry, I'll be honest. But loss does draw us back together in unity with our family. And God has worked every bit of that for good. You know, I don't know, we all see the evil and the pain and the tragedy. We see really bad things happen to good people and Christians as well as unbelievers. We have a world that's lost out there, and we look to government, and we look to, not that those things are bad, there's only one person that can bring life and peace and joy and solve the divisiveness in the world, and that's Jesus. That's the only person, whether it's our personal lives or in a worldly message, he's the only one that can bring peace. He's the only one that can set people free. The Hebrew, this is so interesting. I looked up the Hebrew language for some reason. You know, sometimes you can't explain why you do things for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. But the Hebrew language is written backwards. And if I looked at the situation with my brother, quite honestly, you know, you stand on believing that he was going to be raised up. And quite honestly, sometimes it can really seem like things, you know, you say, where is God in this? But God is working for my good. I can't say completely opposite. This, man, this shouldn't happen to me. Well, who says that? If you're going to be used by God in whatever measure it is, and I've shared with y'all up here. One time I got up here. I was so tired from work during the COVID, from working 75 or 80 hours a week and trying to study and get up here, man. Just like a lot, man, my tank was empty. I just, you know, you can study and prepare, but I'm human. And instead of telling them, maybe backing away and say, Rocky, man, I just don't know. But God comes first. And my failure, hopefully, standing up here today would encourage somebody, because we're going to fail in this life. We don't always get it right. And I love Brother Mark says, we're not always Faith Mountain. The enemy is going to attack. But God is always working for us. God is always in control. He always has our back. We can trust him. We don't understand his timing. That's not for us to understand. We're to walk in faith and declare victory over every area of our life. But I will say this. I wrote this down. I don't want to forget this. I will understand everything when I get to heaven. We will get a clear picture of why things happen on earth. God has to take human failures and disobedience, because he gave us a free will to draw people to himself. But that's a lifetime guarantee, that verse right there. And it's personalized, because I know he is working for me. It doesn't make no difference what anybody says, what anybody does, whether it's my health or my family's. I declare blessing every single day. And you know what? When it's all said and done, God's word will stand. Isaiah 54:17, Clarence. So powerful. He's always working for me. And another one. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. We're going to have those things come against us, but it will not prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. We have the word of God. This is a heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Don't mess with God's people. If we do our part and don't murmur and complain, we don't need to talk about other people. There's a place to have honest conversation, just like Jesus did with us. That's why he drew it. It's his love and kindness and the truth of his words that saved us. Man, what a blessing that is. Jesus is our faith in the fire. He's our hope in the storm. And he will use those things in our lives for his glory and in our testimony. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Victory is ours. When the Bible says we are more than conquerors, when we get to share communion here in a few minutes, it's just, man, my heart this morning is, this is precious, man. This word is indestructible. It's ever living. This word is unmatched power. And the last thing, I don't know about you, but at 8:30 and 9 o'clock at night when I'm reading this, I get sleepy. But if I pick this up, I don't get sleepy. If I'm watching TV, unless it's to the last moment, and normally I have a pastor or two when I'm kind of wound up that I put them on because they put me to sleep. But this word right here, he does not want us in this word. And whether it's sleep, that's why it's important to get this in when we're fully awake. It's so important. Charles Spurgeon says that when you can't see God's hand, you can trust his heart. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. It's not debatable. Always in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every area. He is our victory. He is our comforter. He's our peace. He's our healing. What this world has to offer is no match for his power. 1 Corinthians 15:57. We're not normal. We're created in God's image, and God is working for me and for you. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. We are a blood-bought child of God this morning. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We have to do our part daily. He says to daily take up your cross. That's daily. We need to pray. We need to read Scripture. We need to declare blessings. If God did it, we have to do it. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not a name of claimers, but God has created us conquerors. There's going to be more tragedy in this world. There's going to be more loss. But when I think about it, when we're created in his image, we're working on his behalf, just like this morning, when we can praise the Lord in the midst of those circumstances, like we have people here, and I'm sure there's plenty of people here, whether it's your health or your finances, your family, you know, none of us are normal. We have the power and the authority of God's word to overcome every situation in our lives. You know, you think about giving. God so loved the world that he gave his son. I can tell you, being in the ministry here, God doesn't want your money. God wants our heart. And it's never about money. We won't need currency. I mean, worship and prayer is the currency of heaven. So we're not going to have to worry about money. But I can tell you, when we're willing to give God those things here, think about that. He said our reward's here in heaven. So whether I have one more day or 30 more years in this life, my reward is not here. Now, I'll see some fruit of that. And the scripture, I think, is important right now, so I'm going to share it doing communion this morning. You know, he says, when we come to the Lord in communion, he's done the work, it's finished. It's not debatable. Our word is that we are to stand in faith. And God says, my people suffer for the lack of wisdom. That's in every area of our life, whether it's you need relationship, finances. But when we give to the Lord, and first, I've always encouraged people because people will have asked me in the past about their money. Like I said, it's one of the wealthiest people in the Bible. The Lord had nothing, the lady had nothing to give. So if we're giving out of our abundance, sacrifice costs you. When we give, it costs us something. And I always like to be very careful about finances. But I can remember, and I like to share this, because I give God for anything I have, it's all his. We're just stewards of it. We don't own it. We're going to leave it behind. We're just stewards, and he wants us to enjoy it. But he also wants us to be a blessing to his kingdom. And as a younger man, I didn't have any financial wisdom, and I would like to think I've done a decent job of that with my kids, because debt is a terrible master. But I made up a decision when we first started coming to church after the Lord just really convicted my heart. I said, you know what? I said, if I did lose it all, if I give to God first, he said he's going to take care of me. So, you know, I'd burden myself trying to pay my house off, really, which was a good thing. And God may have helped me do that even earlier in my first home if I was given. But I will tell you this. Ever since I made that a priority of giving to God's kingdom, I know, and my wife will share what he's done in our life. And, man, he doesn't want my money. He wanted my heart. And I still fail him. I mean, every night I put my head on the pillow, I'm grateful for what he's done for me. And we get to share that right here, communion. But he's also defeated our enemy. And he does everything he can, we're going to go through those things. But when we praise him in the fire, you know, regardless of what the outcome is, we have no match. God has our back. If y'all want to, musicians want to come back up here to get ready to prepare for communion. We are not normal. We're created in God's image, and God is working on our behalf. As I thought about just preparing for this morning, because it's never about us or what we do. It's all about what we do for the glory and the kingdom of God. And I can tell you this, God always will supply our needs, and He does want to do up and above anything that we could ask or think of Him. And just in the testimony, Pam, I think about Brother Mark when he got up here, and after just a difficult season in his life, still able to praise the Lord. That's so important, because that's a testimony. That's testimony. That's for, you know, Brother Mark is a man of God, and that's important for us to humans to see people like that. When that's God allowed it, brought him through it, and now he's using him more powerful than he's ever would have used him before that. And that's what we believe. God is working in every heart. If we have our elements this morning, let's see what time it is.